What if the very thing you've been told will save you is actually destroying you? For decades, we've been fed a lie so pervasive, so deeply woven into the fabric of our culture, that questioning it feels almost heretical. We've been taught that our bodies are problems to be solved, that thinness equals health, happiness, and moral virtue. We've poured billions of dollars, countless hours, and immeasurable emotional energy into shrinking ourselves. And yet, we keep failing, or so we think. The truth is far more sinister. The system is designed to fail us. Diet culture, as Christy Harrison calls it, is the life thief, a multi-billion-dollar industry built on our insecurities, profiting from our shame while stealing our time, money, health, and joy. Harrison, a registered dietitian who once struggled with an eating disorder herself, spent years inside this system before emerging as one of its fiercest critics. Her message is radical in its simplicity. Your body isn't broken. Diet culture is. Diet culture began in ancient Greece, where Hippocrates framed dietary restriction as moral discipline, labeling pleasure eaters as barbarians. During colonial expansion, Spanish colonizers feared indigenous foods would transform their bodies to resemble native peoples, an early racist "you are what you eat" ideology marking certain bodies as inferior. The Industrial Revolution intensified these prejudices through standardized clothing that forced conformity. Presbyterian minister Sylvester Graham promoted austere diets, no alcohol, caffeine, meat, or spices, claiming they prevented illness and moral corruption. His followers became the first Americans to regularly track body weight, turning self-surveillance into virtue. As cities grew, the white middle class weaponized thinness as social status, distinguishing themselves from immigrants and people of color. 19th-century racial theories explicitly categorized fatness as savage and thinness as civilized. These racist beauty standards, born from colonialism and class anxiety, continue shaping ideals today. Penny scales, introduced in 1885, democratized weight obsession while generating massive profits. Victorian beauty standards initially favored plumpness, but the 1890 Gibson girl shifted ideals toward an athletic yet impossibly narrow-waisted figure. By the early 1900s, weight loss advertisements flooded magazines, many containing arsenic or tapeworms. The 1920s flapper aesthetic rejected curves entirely, requiring women to bind their breasts and starve into boyish silhouettes. As women gained suffrage, beauty standards became increasingly restrictive, creating what Laura Fraser called an inner corset of self-starvation. Naomi Wolf argues, dieting is the most potent political sedative in women's history. By mid-century, doctors endorsed weight loss despite lacking evidence, influenced by cultural bias. Insurance companies adopted the Quetelin Index, later renamed BMI, despite serious flaws, created by an astronomer using only white European men, never intended for clinical use. Group dieting programs proliferated: TOPS, 1948, Overeaters Anonymous, 1960, Weight Watchers, 1961, all blaming emotional issues rather than acknowledging diets don't work. As Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique launched second-wave feminism in 1963, 16-year-old Twiggy became the world's first supermodel, embodying a thinner-than-ever standard. Simultaneously, the fat liberation movement emerged, reclaiming fat and challenging diet culture with scientific evidence. The obesity epidemic emerged from William Dietz's CDC PowerPoint maps showing states shifting from blue to red. These maps created a false crisis. Small weight gains merely pushed people over arbitrary BMI thresholds. Average American weight increased minimally between 1985-1998, yet was framed as an emergency. Ironically, dieting itself likely contributed. Intentional weight loss causes long-term weight gain for up to two-thirds of dieters. By 2013, the AMA classified obesity as a disease despite its own committee's recommendation against doing so, likely influenced by pharmaceutical and surgical industries. When traditional dieting fell from favor, the industry rebranded as wellness, The early 2000s food activist movement, Fast Food Nation, Michael Pollan's works, unintentionally reinforced weight stigma while exposing corporate manipulation. The gluten-free market exploded from $580 million to 2004 to $1.85 billion 2018, despite only 0.75% having celiac disease. This merged with food activism to create clean eating, popularized through Instagram. Its moralistic language about pure versus contaminated foods reveals diet culture roots. Today, nearly half of surveyed Instagram users meet orthorexia criteria. Modern manifestations like Whole30, paleo, and intermittent fasting use terms like protocol or lifestyle, but they're all the wellness diet. Market research confirms diet has become a four-letter word, while healthy eating has replaced dieting. Anna Guest Jelly endured 65 diets starting at age 6, attending Weight Watchers by 10 instead of enjoying childhood. Despite success elsewhere, she felt like a failure because weight loss never lasted. Her experience reflects the norm. Over 95% of diets fail, with studies showing 90 to 95% of dieters regain 2/3 of lost weight within a year. Worse, 1/3 to 2/3 regain more weight than they lost. Our bodies maintain a genetically programmed weight set range, about 70% determined by genes, with the hypothalamus acting as a thermostat. When weight drops below this range, the brain triggers survival mechanisms, reduced fullness hormones, increased hunger hormones, lower metabolism, and heightened food cravings. These aren't willpower failures, they're biological imperatives designed to protect us from starvation. The diet industry thrives on this cycle, selling failing products, blaming consumers, then selling more solutions. The U.S. diet industry exceeds $72 billion annually, with the global market reaching $648 billion. We spend thousands on light foods, protein bars, meal replacement shakes, shapewear, and cellulite creams. Bariatric procedures cost $15,000 to $25,000 each. Eating disorder treatment programs run about $30,000 monthly, often without insurance coverage. But the financial cost pales beside the physical and mental toll. Weight stigma itself is a major health risk, independently increasing risk for depression, disordered eating, diabetes, and heart disease, regardless of actual body size. It poses a greater health risk than poor quality dietary patterns. Former Biggest Loser contestant Kai Hibbard experienced this firsthand. Doctors repeatedly diagnosed her as fat, missing her actual rheumatoid arthritis for 2 years, potentially causing permanent damage. Weight cycling, the yo-yo pattern of loss and regain, increases cardiovascular problems and mortality. A South Korean study of 6.7 million participants found those with the greatest weight fluctuations had 53% higher mortality risk and 14% greater risk of heart attack and stroke. Weight loss surgery carries severe nutritional deficiencies, dumping syndrome causing chronic nausea and diarrhea, and doubled rates of alcohol and substance use disorders 7 years post-surgery. Diet culture doesn't just steal our money and health, it redirects entire career paths and consumes the precious, finite resource of our lives. Intuitive eating is our birthright, the natural way humans eat from birth. As babies, we instinctively knew when we were hungry, ate without shame, enjoyed food with pleasure, and stopped when satisfied. Diet culture disrupts this innate wisdom by creating deprivation, teaching us that hunger is wrong, pleasure is dangerous, and fullness means failure. Reconnecting with your body's wisdom requires rejecting diet culture completely and ensuring true abundance. Like a stray cat needing gentle coaxing, your body requires compassion after diet culture's trauma. Health at Every Size, HAZE, offers an alternative, a weight-inclusive, anti-diet approach prioritizing self-care over self-control. Your health isn't entirely within your control. Genetics, socioeconomic status, stigma, and environmental factors all play roles. Health is neither a moral obligation nor a requirement for worthiness. Finding community with others who challenge diet culture helps us see new possibilities. People accomplish incredible things with energy reclaimed from quitting diets, starting businesses, advocating for justice, pursuing dreams, raising body-positive children. In a world profiting from your self-hatred, reclaiming your body is revolutionary. Diet culture will keep rebranding restriction as wellness, but you can step off the hamster wheel. This isn't just personal liberation, it's social justice. Your body isn't the problem. It never was.